In November of 2023, the Swell Pod took a 10-day journey across 5 states, traveling 3,580 miles with one challenge in mind.
And that challenge was to interview 100 pleasantly rebellious humans to uncover deep truths about what it takes to create something that has never existed before, challenge the status quo, maybe even change the world.
This is the Kiln Road Trip, created and produced by The Swell Pod.
In partnership with Kiln, Moterra Camper Vans, and sponsored by Taurus.
I'm Spencer McEwen.
And I'm Josh Taylor, and together we're the co-hosts of The Swell Pod and your guides on the Kiln Road Trip. Follow along on the journey.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, follow The Swell Pod on social media, and subscribe to your YouTube channel at, you guessed it, The Swell Pod.
This is interview 25 of the Kiln Road Trip, and today we're at Kiln Lehigh, talking with Renato Villanueva. Renato is the founder and CEO of Parallel. Parallel is an FP&A platform that seamlessly integrates headcount, movements, and related expenses, enhancing strategic planning and collaboration in budgeting across finance teams and department leads. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy.
Renato, thank you so much for being on the Swell Podcast.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. First podcast ever, so.
No
Excellent.
Way.
Excellent.
We're excited about that. So if we can just start, just introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
Yeah, so my name is Renato. I started a company called Parallel. We're an FP&A tool focused on headcount. Prior to that, I worked at a company called Divi, just right here in Draper. Was there super early on back in 2018, was there for the last 5 years. Kind of born from my experience is like, where my product was born, in the sense of like my experience there, headaches I dealt with. So been there, decided to make a jump to fix it. So here we are.
Renato. And so what did you do at Divi? Sorry.
I was on the finance team.
Finance team. Okay. And tell me again the name of your company.
Parallel.
Parallel. Nice. And so, yeah, do you want to just kind of give us a little rundown of like who you are, like how, like where did you grow up and kind of what led you down the path to eventually where you are now?
Yeah, for sure. So I am from Peru. I moved here when I was like a baby. So I'm like as bad as American you can get. But on Sundays, we only speak Spanish at the house.
Okay.
It's one of those things my wife is always like, hey, it's been like 5 minutes and someone spoke English. Like, I'm getting bored here.
Yeah.
So yeah, I grew up in Orem, like went to high school in Orem High, went to school at UVU. Yeah, I don't know. I think like there's always been that like desire to like start a company. I mean... It's kind of hard to say. I feel like it's one of those things to say like, hey, I want to do this in the future.
Yeah.
But I think in the back of my mind, there's always been that desire to do my own thing. I think part of it was because my dad coming here, he started his own remodeling company. So I think there was always that like, hey, if I started this and I gave you like a huge head start, what could you do having like been born here?
Yeah.
Right? My dad came here when he was in his 30s and he was like, well, if I was able to do this, what are you going to do? So I think there was always like that desire to like do something that's challenging. I don't know.
Yeah.
I also think that like I got a chance to work early on at Qualtrics as well as I was an SDR there. And so I think like also there, like catching and feeling that energy there, it was like
something
super unique.
Right?
Yeah. It was just super unique, super cool. And you know, Ryan Smith's super smart, but I was just like, man, I wish I was the one leading the company meeting.
Yeah.
And kind of the same thing at Divi. Like when I saw Blake kind of like do the call to action, like, let's go build this, let's go do this. It was also like, man, I wish like how cool would it be if I was the one trying to like pump the team up. And then now here I am and it's like super weird, super unique because, you know, now I have like a team that looks to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh shoot, like I thought I could do it and now I'm doing it.
Yeah.
It's a weird experience for sure.
Harder than maybe it looked possibly.
Oh, 100%. I think that like if I had known how hard it was, if I had known when I started it, how hard it was going to be, I think that I don't know if I would have done it. But I think that's like the benefit of going into certain decisions with very little information. Like that was one of the things I recently tweeted. I'm like, there's some decisions that the less you know, the better.
Yeah.
And I think that starting a business is definitely one of those, like the less you go into it knowing, the better. Like there's always little things that come up that I'd never thought about.
As long as you have that persistence, I guess.
Yeah.
I just don't need to know. I'm just going to persist and keep going.
100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think I kind of joined right when like ChatGPT was born. So I can be like, hey, how do I file my workers' comp?
Yeah.
Like there's just these little things that you have to deal with that there's like a resource for now. But yeah, I think a lot harder than I expected.
Yeah. We usually ask this question a little bit later on, but are you building out of Kiln then?
Yeah. We're over to the other one.
So for somebody in your position, right, that you've kind of looked up to all these different founders and CEOs and kind of you're now forging your own path. And so you mentioned ChatGPT being able to answer some of your questions, but I'm wondering if like building in Kiln, the community around here, if anything, you know, if that's helped you at all as well in various different ways.
Yeah, I think, you know, Aaron McReynolds over at Alesio, he's been a huge help to me. I think that he raised like 2 or 3 months right before we did. And he's been super transparent, super open. Anytime I come to him and I'm like, hey, here's a call that didn't go well. How would you have done it? Or just like little things, how much of your product did you require to be built before you started really selling it? How did you convert your like free? Because initially you're just begging people to get on it.
Yeah.
And so like there's been people who've been like, hey, come use it for free. And there's kind of, I've asked them like, hey, how do you like go back and ask for money? So yeah, I think Aaron over at Alesio has been a huge help. I can always just ask him ideas and he's always been super transparent with me.
And where did you meet him? Was that
at Kiln? Yeah.
Kiln, right? Yeah. Just a collision. And
yeah, there was like an entrepreneur like office hours or something, and they got us all in a room and I happened to be next to him, and he was a guy with a British accent. I'm like, oh, he's probably got a cool story. So I started talking to him, and then it turns out that our worlds are like super, super small because he worked at Qualtrics. And so one of my cousins worked there and he knew him. And so, yeah, we ended up being like having a small world that it's like, oh, have we not crossed paths before? But
yeah,
Kiln kind of put us there together.
That's amazing. Yeah. So what was the, I guess, the impetus or the opportunity or the challenge or the problem that you found that kind of led you to starting what you've started?
I think it was like two things. So I think number one, when Ramp started building and at Divi, we were like, who's this company? Why did they think that they can start building 2-3 years after we did? And the answer was simple. It was like, oh, the market's huge. Like, it doesn't matter that you started. It would take 30-40 years to capture the entire market. So you just got a little ahead of us and kind of proved product market fit in a way for us. So I think kind of like when I looked at the finance space as well, like 80% plus of CEO or of CFOs or finance teams are still in Excel. They're still doing it in a really bad way. And even the tools that exist are not up to like par of what I think they should be. So it's kind of like, okay, there is a need for collaboration for finance teams to have like a web-based forecasting tool. And I was like, oh, like the market's still huge. So I kind of took the Ramp approach where I was like, well, yeah, they just proved that there is a need for it and the market's still big enough. Why not take my own stab at it? But I think the other thing too was having worked at Divi, our finance team was just super unique in the sense of we were very much like not scorekeepers. So it's super normal for finance teams to come and be like, you were over budget 30K. Like that seems to be like a very common thing.
Yeah.
At Divi, for us, like I wanted to feel like I was a marketing analyst. I wanted to feel like I was a product analyst. I wanted to feel like I was a sales analyst. Like that I was so embedded in the team that it wasn't whether I was over under. What mattered was the goal. So at when we were at the Divi finance team, it was very much like, okay, is our CAC where we want it to be? How much did we beat quota by? What else do you need to get there? And so every month it was like, like reviewing the budget, it was a lot less about like, how much money are you over? And it was very much like, did we beat the goal or not? And if not, what resources do we need to deploy? And one of the biggest ones was headcount. Like for me, I just felt like the more we grew, there tended to be like, we were throwing headcount at problems.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we did at Divi that was super unique is we always tied headcount to a specific outcome. So at Divi, you could never come and talk to us and be like, hey, can I hire a RevOps analyst? Without having some sort of assumption that you came to us saying, because he's going to start reviewing X, Y, or Z, and having that data is going to allow us to do this other thing.
Right.
And so for us, there was always like these 30 or 50 models we had offline that kind of helped us determine how headcount should grow and why. And I thought like, this is headcount, first of all, is like 80% of most companies' expenses. It is like the biggest expense. That's why when companies are struggling, they do layoffs. Because it doesn't matter if you cut a 200K Tableau license, like you need to cut 10 people. That's going to save $2 million a year.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just thought that like we did finance really unique at Divi. There was no team that was doing, there was no forecasting tool that kind of was made to do finance the way we did it. And so I was like, oh, let me build a tool that thinks about how finance should operate the way we operate it.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's where it was born. That's where this was born, right? And 100%. How long has it been since that moment kind of that you thought this is a problem and I think I could solve it?
So yeah, that was in March. So let's see.
Really fresh.
Yeah, it's been like eight, 9 months.
Wow. Yeah. What challenges have you been facing recently? Maybe not from your point of view as a budding CEO and leader, right? But more so from a company perspective and maybe value proposition perspective.
Yeah, I think it's so hard to not feature chase, right? Like it's one of those things that when you look at like why startups fail, it's like they thought, oh, once I build this next thing, then customers will want it. So I think it's like you get on a call and a company's like, this is way cool, but if it did this thing, then I would really buy it. And it's kind of really tempting to like be like, okay, sounds good, we'll buy it.
Pivot quickly.
Yeah. And so I think like what's been hard is not falling for that trap. But at the same time, you don't want to be so stubborn in that you think you're right about this thing that you don't pivot. So it's like this weird balance of like, you have to be willing to pivot, but you don't want to pivot based on every single person's feedback.
Yeah.
So we've kind of said like, okay, who are the customers that we want to close? What is common about them? What are they asking for? And been very clear about like, okay, this is what we've decided our like MVP is going to be. And it doesn't matter if someone asks for something above or beyond that. We're only going to do it if they're willing to pay before we build it.
Yeah.
So that's like, for us, we've been like, okay, you really want that? That's awesome. We have it planned for March. So if you're willing to put it doesn't matter, like $50, $100, $200 deposit, just put something down and we'll like reach back out once it's ready.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
So kind of testing out market fit for your MVP at this stage, right?
Yeah, all the time.
Even though it might become a different thing over time, right? But you're going to test this thing right now as an MVP with paying, you know, customers with some level of commitment.
The financial commitment right at the beginning is really interesting too. Yeah.
How about, have you got another question?
Go for it,
sorry.
So
just for our audience again, just remind us, so as if they knew nothing, which they don't, about your product, how will it make their lives easier as a business coming along and using your, what we'd call platform?
Yeah. So I can talk from like the perspective of like a business leader. So like if I'm a business leader, I need to know who's on my team and who am I approved to hire. But the problem is that decision happens like point in time. So like, let's say we get in a room right now. We're like, all right, we're planning for 2024. Here's who's on my team so far. Here are the roles we've agreed to add. But the reality is the minute you walk out the door, changes are going to happen, right? Historically, all those just get our email to finance. So finance tends to be like this gatekeeper. And so you have to email them for everything. Hey, Renato, it turns out this person, he needs 5K more for him to come over. Or, hey, this person needs to start 2 weeks early. Or there's all these things that like, really, it's like your budget if you're a department leader, but it's never felt that way. It's always been like, oh, finance. So if I'm a department leader, what Parallel allows me to do is not have like, not only like see what the budget was, but actually like interact with it in a way that I couldn't before. So now I have control. So part of what we're trying to build is I want to give leaders the ability to actually make changes to their budget that finance feels comfortable with. And then any ones that go above that, it goes routed to finance for approval. But I would say the biggest way it makes like lives easier is it allows leaders to be leaders with their budget and go and work on it rather than always having to like have, I just hate feeling like a babysitter. That's how a lot of times I felt in finance was like, oh, like it kind of felt embarrassing at times that a VP of sales would have to come to ask me if someone could start 2 weeks earlier. And from my perspective, I'm like, well, let's change that. Like, let's make a platform where finance locks in numbers, but allows for you to interact with it in a way and make changes that I feel comfortable with so we can just like go and move and go quicker.
Right.
Before we get into the rest of the episode, we want to thank the partners and sponsors who made the Kiln Road Trip possible. The Kiln Road Trip is brought to you by Kiln. Kiln is a boutique co-working and flex office community with 13 locations in 6 states across the West, dedicated to providing innovative workspaces that empower your team to thrive. Whether you're a solo visionary or an enterprise-level team of up to 100, Kiln transcends being merely a place to work. It's a hub for learning and connecting with like-minded professionals that will make you and your team love where you work.
And if you haven't stepped foot inside a kiln yet, you really need to. On this road trip, we visited every single location, and trust us when we say once you see these beautifully designed spaces, meet the talented team, and connect with fellow members, you won't want to work anywhere else.
Locations include Utah, Colorado, Idaho, Oregon, California, and Arizona. And they're growing too, with multiple locations set to open in 2024.
Yeah, so be sure to check out the Kiln locations nearest you by booking a tour at kiln.com and answer Swell in the question, how did you hear about us? Once you complete the tour, you'll be entered into a competition where you could win a 1-year membership, their club membership at Kiln.
Yep, you heard that. That's kiln.com, book a tour, and be sure to mention Swell in the question, how did you hear about us?
The Kiln Road Trip is also brought to you by Motera Campervans, a luxury campervan rental company for iconic road trips. Their top-of-the-line vans are available at 7 locations located near America's best outdoor adventure destinations. They have consistently earned the highest customer ratings in the industry, making Motera Campervans your gateway to adventure without sacrificing on comfort or service.
That's true, and initially we wanted to take this journey in a 1960s VW bus, but thankfully we found Motera instead. With three van options, we took the Pop Top Classic, which sleeps four and is best for those who want to maximize floor space and storage. This was critical for us because it needed to sleep the entire crew, we needed space to edit, and we were traveling with large amounts of equipment, luggage, and, you know, other goodies that we picked up along the way.
And this van took us through all 3,580 miles of the trip, super comfortable and sweet to drive.
And actually, Motera offers fully planned itineraries if you'd rather leave the planning to someone else.
Visit gomotera.com/swell. That's gomotera.com/swell.
This episode is also brought to you by Taurus. Taurus is leading the charge in home energy storage. Taurus makes it easy to achieve energy independence and a greener tomorrow. The Taurus Station provides everything you need to generate clean power, efficiently store electricity, and easily manage your energy use.
And installing a Taurus Station offers plenty of benefits, including save money on your electricity bill.
Also, ensure energy security with backup power during outages.
Reduce carbon emissions with renewables.
You can also automate EV charging and HVAC systems with 100% renewables.
And enjoy unrivaled system monitoring and support.
If you like the sound of those benefits, get a quote to build your Taurus station in less than 30 seconds. Super easy at Taurus.co. That's Taurus.co. Now, let's get back to the episode.
So really at the heart of it, like autonomy.
Yeah.
And really being able to manage it yourself.
Exactly.
That's a really interesting. I mean, it should be a given, but it's an area that no one's addressed. That's what Parallel is doing.
100%. Like, you get a budget at the beginning of a quarter, and then at the end of it, you review whether you're above or below it. Yeah. But every time, every day, you're going to be asking finance, can I make this change? Can I make this adjustment? And I'm like, yeah, like, if it's under this, let's just say it's under 100K, then I'd actually like don't care if you do it.
Yeah.
Like, you should just go be able and do it. But there hasn't been like a tool that's really been focused on the partnering aspect of finance.
Right.
Most financial tools are trying to make us be better modelers. Mm. And I'm like, if you're just like focused on how good you are in Excel, like, it drives me crazy. I'll see all the times like these finance thought leaders are like, the 500 shortcuts you didn't know in Excel. And I'm like, that sucks. Why don't you give me 20 ways of how to deliver bad news to a leader? Like, that's more important.
Better collaboration, better messaging, better relationships.
100%.
Yeah. That's great. Well, now I know we're running out of time. It's gone so quickly.
Can I just
ask your killer question?
So,
last question.
How many people are on your team right now?
There's six of us.
So, what, you know, early stages, you got to get people inspired, right? You got to get people to catch the vision. So, what is the vision of Parallel? Where do you see yourself in like 5 years?
Yeah, like I want to be, it's one of those things that maybe it's the bar was like set by Ryan Smith, right? And so then you have like Blake Murray from Divi who came and tried to set like a new bar. And so I think it's just, I think what I've been focused on in finding a team is people that are like really incentivized to set a new bar, right? So for example, if you talk to Tyler on my team, he's like, hey, I want to develop the first like 15 person engineering team to get to 50 million ARR or something. Like, he's very just like, I want people to feel like if they're not on our team, then they're just building way inefficiently. Yeah. Like, there's something cool about how we build. So I think the vision for it is A, the type of people that we develop into, which is like top tier engineers, top tier product, top tier sales, right? Like, Qualtrics was known. Like, oh, if you like get a sales rep from Qualtrics, you know that they can close anything, right? And so I think it's like this bar that we're trying to set for Utah. But I think also financially, like, chasing for that $1 billion+ outcome that would only open up additional opportunities. Do you know what I'm saying? 100%. So I think it's like less about just like the money, but it's like, oh, what else could we do with that afterwards? Yeah. So I think it's setting a new bar and then financial freedom to like chase after other dreams that we might have.
Yeah, that's amazing. I guess the last question, the last question that we'll ask, and we ask this to everybody. So thinking about what does it take to take an idea and create something that's never existed before, create a movement, challenge the status quo, whatever it may be. But we'd love to get your thoughts on what do you think that takes?
I think it just takes iterating nonstop. It's just you can't stop making some sort of improvement and getting it to someone. So I guess it's kind of like a tough question to answer. Our perspective.
It's a big question.
How did we take this idea? Well, it's kind of funny because I took a page out of my former CFO's handbook, where when we started making a deck, we would actually, before opening up PowerPoint, we would just get pieces of paper.
Yeah.
And he would be like, all right, this is what I'd like the slide theoretically to look like. And then I would take that. Then I'd go to PowerPoint and I'd try to build it.
Yeah.
And then I'd show him that. And he'd be like, oh, that's close. Let me draw it again. And so that aspect of let's take it and just back like keep making forth. It better. So I think it's kind of the same thing with the product, and the idea that we have is, okay, this is what it is today. Let's get in front of five more potential customers. Let's get five more Figma mockups and show it to them. So I think it's just you have to make some sort of progress, some sort of adjustment every day that you just have to work on it. I honestly don't think anyone that's come up with a cool idea wasn't that from the start.
Yeah. Right? That's amazing. We really appreciate you being on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.
It's gone so quickly.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of The Kiln Road Trip. Be sure to follow along on the rest of the journey. And you can do that in two ways. One, subscribe to the podcast, whether you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or maybe even watching on YouTube. And follow along on all of our social media platforms, whether you're on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or TikTok, @TheSwellPod. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next episode.